2 Kings, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, has injured himself. He's fallen out of the window. And he has sent messengers to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to see if he will recover from the injury. And in verses 3 and 4 of 2 Kings chapter 1, we have Elijah's response to this. Actually, that's not true. We have God's response through Elijah. And that's not just playing with words. That's not just an insignificant point. This is not Elijah going to the library thinking up a good idea. This is God confronting Ahaziah. And he's using his servant, Elijah, to do it. The angel of the Lord. My version opens, but the angel of the Lord. Then the angel of the Lord. As a consequence of Ahaziah's consultation of Baal-zebub, then the angel of the Lord, God, steps in. And he said to Elijah, the Tishbite, you go up. You meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and ask them, is it because there is no God in Israel that you're going off to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? And so on. Now you will notice what the angel of the Lord, the angel of the covenant, Christ, I would say, the angel of the covenant, God himself speaking to Elijah, and he's telling him what to say. Now you will notice it's not a statement. It could be a statement. In other words, something along the lines, you are wrong to go to the god of Ekron. You are wrong to go to Baal-zebub. You have insulted me. A statement. And that would be powerful, but it's not powerful enough. How does God bring this home to Ahaziah? How does he do it? By a question. Now, questions are very important. Most preachers don't ask questions at all. They make bland statements, and that is weak. Now, some preachers do ask questions, but they ask weaker questions even than statements. What do I mean? You will hear preacher after preacher, I do. They'll say this, Jesus is a wonderful Savior, isn't he? Justification by faith is a marvelous doctrine, isn't it? Now, that's a very weak question. It's asking for assurance. It's asking for confidence-giving. It's begging some help from the congregation. This is not the kind of question we have to ask when we preach the gospel. We're not asking for the approval of the Ahaziahs of this world. No. The question has not got to be, isn't it? Won't it be? All that kind of weak stuff. Nor has it to be what I call a closed question. Are you converted? Yes. No. See, that's too easy. That's a closed question. The answer is yes or no. What sort of question is powerful? An open question. How were you converted? Tell me about your conversion. That kind of a probing approach. Open-ended. Leaving the hearer to find the words for him or herself. That's powerful. Of course, it's difficult for the preacher, because it's confrontational, but that's what it's got to be. Now, there is another type of question which is powerful, and it's what's called a rhetorical question. And you get it here. This is what this is. Is it because there is no God in Israel that you're going off to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now, the answer is obvious. Of course there's a God in Israel. But the very form of the question shows how ridiculous, how insulting Ahaziah's behavior is. You have insulted me, says God. Now, instead of making a statement, he rubs salt into the wound, and he makes the man feel it by asking this simple question. I might say insulting question, deliberately so, to bring it home to the conscience of this wicked man. My brothers and sisters, we need preachers of this stamp. Ah, well, we are not Elijah's. No, we're not. But this is the stamp we have of preaching in the Bible. Nathan was like it. John the Baptist was like it. The prophets were like it. Christ was like it. Paul was like it. Read their sermons. Peter on the day of Pentecost. You, by wicked hands, have taken this man and crucified him. And so on and so on. You are responsible. The buck stops with you. There is salvation in no other, he said later. Only Christ can save. We must obey God rather than men. You see, this is the kind of preaching we need. Today we have the marketers. What do? They sell Christ. And they use the methods of the world. The big stores, the global business, the banks, the football teams, the soccer teams, the Olympic champions and so on. How do they run their affairs? How do they win their matches? Well, we'll do the same. Rubbish. We have the Spirit of God. We have the Scriptures. If we use the world's methods, my friend, if we approach the world with the world's methods, we'll get worldly converts, if they're converts at all. We don't want that. We want genuine turning to Christ, regeneration by the Spirit, repentance and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ and in Christ, toward God and in Christ. We want real, real conversions, sanctification by the Spirit, justification in the blood and righteousness of Christ, a real turning of the sinner to Christ, a new creation. This is what we want. And Elijah shows us how to do it. And it's judgmental too. For he goes on, verse 4, therefore, tell the king, you will not leave the bed you're lying on. You will certainly die. Confrontational, judgmental, direct, blunt. Note the use. Note the use. Again, as I've said many times, note the preachers today. It's always we and us. No, my friend, preaching should be you. I blame you. Of course, I'm a hearer too. Of course, this applies to me first and foremost. I'm not saying that. I'm not above it. No, no. But a preacher must be a confrontational preacher. That's the biblical way of preaching, and that's the only way of preaching. And the most important thing to me is this last three words. So Elijah went. Praise God, he did it. He wasn't looking for return engagements. This is his final sermon, you know. This is his final sermon. He's taking his life in his hand again. But the angel of the Lord has told him to go. He's told him what to say. He's told him to confront. He's told him to lay it on the line. And praise God, this man went. May it be said of me, so this man went. Whatever God said to him, he did. As Mary said about Christ at the wedding of Cana, whatever he says to you, do it. Oh, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we need preachers like this, in the pulpit and in conversation. We need to speak plainly and bluntly. I know we need to speak the truth in love. But don't let's use that text to get round this. God is offended with sinners. Sinners have offended him. He stands there in love and mercy, I know, in the gospel. Praise God for it. Nevertheless, we have to bring home by our words and actions and by our means, every means we have to bring home to the conscience the responsibility of the sinner, the judgment of God, looking to God to use his word to raise up a converted people for the glory of his name. So Ahaziah had gone his way, but the angel of the Lord stepped in. God knew. God knows your heart, my friend. Unbeliever, God reads you like an open book. He knows what you're thinking, what you're doing, and he knows how to respond. May God bless us, believers, that we may be servants of the living God. And that's not a cozy, comfortable chat. That's real speaking in the name of Christ, for Christ, in the gospel of Christ. And God give us the spirit of Elijah. So Elijah went. And he confronted, and he laid it on the line. Blessed be God for such men. And all who are like it today, may God use them and help them and sustain them and protect them and give them grace to continue. And if any are convicted by my words, may we come back to the Lord and begin again and take up the proper stance as we address men with the gospel. May God bless this discourse to us all. Amen.